Here's your money briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen at the Wall Street Journal in New York. Saving more, making more, and getting out of debt. Figuring out your money is one of the top goals people set for the new year. But it's one thing to make a resolution and another to actually make a change.
When people actually write down a plan to meet a goal, it feels a little bit more formal, maybe a little bit more like a contract with yourself, so that people are less likely, first of all, they're more likely to remember the fine points of their plan. And second of all, they're less likely to break that promise to themselves.
Wall Street Journal reporter Ann Turgeson spoke with motivational experts and behavioral economists who say there are a few simple steps to maximize the odds of success. That's coming up.
You let him try violin because you love him. And if you love him that much, love him enough to make sure he's buckled up and in the back seat. Find out more at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Many of our New Year's resolutions go right out the window not long after the start of the new year. Converting good intentions into action and creating behavioral changes is harder than it seems. It takes repetition and being realistic about your abilities. And when it comes to your money, cracking the code to stick to best practices can mean a lot for your wallet. Let's bring in Wall Street Journal reporter Ann Turgeson for more on this. So, Ann, you know, we're not saying making resolutions at the new year is a bad idea, but academic research says it's an ideal time, especially to take stock of your money and your finances and even do it on your birthday.
Yeah. So there is some very interesting academic research that looks at, you know, that issue of motivation. So when are we, you know, we like to sort of make promises that we're going to change things in our lives for the better. And so there are studies that have looked at keying those types of promises to yourself around sort of birthdays and New Year's in particular. And these are dates that represent sort of a fresh start, where people kind of take stock of how things have been going, and they have a sense that, you know, this is the start of a new year, so I can begin a whole new, I can turn over a new leaf, I can begin, you know, to focus on a whole new me. Whereas, you know, just saying I'm going to, you know, lose 10 pounds next Tuesday maybe doesn't have quite the same resonance with people.
And whatever kind of goal you set, whether it's your health or whether it's your finances, it's important to give yourself small victories to enjoy along the way.
Right. So there's a difference between, I mean, I think we're all familiar with this. You know, everybody makes, or a lot of people make New Year's resolutions. And then, you know, a couple weeks later, maybe we lose our momentum and we don't sort of carry them through. And over time, I think, you know, the repeated kind of failures to make good on resolutions can actually kind of take a toll on your self-confidence and your ability to do so. So I think it's important to take, you know, specific steps, not just to kind of promise yourself that I'm going to kind of revolutionize my approach to savings and spending or whatever your goal is, but to take specific steps to actually make it more likely that you're going to be able to carry out your goals.
And in terms of your finances, a good way to do that would be to automate your savings.
Yeah, so that's sort of, you know, advice 101 for people is, you know, when they make a promise to themselves, say you want to increase your savings rate by a couple percentage points, you know, you should just automate it because that takes out the whole issue of willpower from the equation.
And by all means, write down your plans.
Well, it's an interesting thing that I've spoken to a number of behavioral scientists for this article, and one made the point that when people actually write down a plan to meet a goal, it feels a little bit more formal, maybe a little bit more like a contract with yourself, so that people are less likely, first of all, they're more likely to remember the fine points of their plan. And second of all, they're less likely to break that promise to themselves.
And experts recommend behavioral therapy. That sounds kind of serious.
Well, that's just one of the ways. I mean, it's not necessarily saying you should sit down with a therapist, but what it is it's sort of a cognitive approach by which you can sort of identify maybe triggers to bad behavior. Like, for example, this isn't a financial example, but one of my resolutions is to stop eating dinner out of the snack drawer at work, because sometimes when I stay late, I get really hungry. I have every intention of, you know, going home and eating healthy, but I'm just starving, so I'll eat whatever's in front of me. And so for me, the trigger is staying late at work. So the good thing at that point, you need to kind of brainstorm, well, that's the trigger, that's the problem. What are the potential solutions? Well, the potential solutions are that I can just make sure I bring some healthy food from home, make sure I leave by a reasonable hour before I get hungry. So that it's that kind of thinking.
And all those involve willpower and changing up and training yourself to do that.
Right. Right. So it's a multi-step process.
And then there's something that behavioral economists recommend. It's called mental contrasting when setting goals. What is that?
Sort of the first step with all this is that you need to set realistic goals. So rather than say, you know, I'm going to retire by 40, you know, it's like, think about what's actually realistic. You know, maybe you currently save 5% of your income. Maybe you want to get to that 15% that a lot of experts recommend. So, you know, a good plan for you might be to increase your savings rate by 1 or 2 percentage points a year until you hit that 15%. So mental contrasting involves thinking about your ultimate goal, which is, you know, I want to be self-sufficient in retirement. I'm going to save 15% of income to be self-sufficient in retirement. And then thinking about all the obstacles to that. You know, for example, well, every year I promise to do this, and then there's some unexpected expense that comes along and causes me to derail myself from my plans. So therefore, I need to come up with a solution to that, which is maybe to save for emergencies.
You know, we talk about financial planning a lot on this show. Don't be afraid to hire a financial planner.
Yeah, I mean, that can be appropriate for people depending on their goals. I mean, if you have a goal to do a financial plan, you certainly can try to do it yourself. That's something that a lot of people don't necessarily have the time or interest in doing. A lot of people become very kind of daunted by the idea of hiring a planner because it involves multiple steps, and it's a little bit, which can be a little bit complicated. So one of the techniques that experts recommend is breaking down, you know, what you think you have to do into smaller kind of mini steps. So with hiring a financial planner, the first step, for example, might be just linking you up all your accounts to some kind of aggregation site where you can see how much you're spending and how much money's coming in. And then, you know, just simply setting a goal to look at that once a month until you become familiar with how your finances are going. You know, then you might want to think about trying to hire a financial planner. But again, you should kind of break that task down into smaller steps.
All right. That's Wall Street Journal reporter Ann Turgeson with us. Ann, thanks for coming on the show.
You're welcome.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen in New York for the Wall Street Journal.